You're listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 91. Welcome to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 91. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruck Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have an interview with Emily McCarthy, who recently took on a new role at GoRuck. We talk about her first event, which was class number 3, and then get into women in rucking and rucking as a parent. I had a ton of fun talking with her. I've got 2 kids of my own, and I love getting out there rucking with them. She has kids of her own, so it was interesting to hear how she gets the miles in. Before we get into the episode, there are a couple interesting announcements this week. First off, for those who haven't heard, service components are no longer required at GoRuck light, tough, and heavy events. So I found that pretty interesting. Got a post about it, as well as a quote from GoRuck up on the website. So you can get more info about that announcement there. And then we're 7 days into the Ruck Your Dog event. So I hope you're having a great time out there supporting Pets for Patriots, rucking your dog. If you're out there rucking with a dog, then you can check out, we just released a video, 7 tips for rucking with your dog. Those are things I learned rucking with my dog Watson when I was training for my events years ago before he got old and can't go on those long rucks anymore. I really hope you enjoy this episode with Emily McCarthy, and let's get into the interview. So that first event that you did, class 3, you said that you helped Jason kind of plan out what happened in class 2. So you might have known a little bit more than the other participants what you were getting yourself into. How did it feel doing that first event? Did you have fun at it?
Surprisingly, yes. So, you know, Jason and I, we've always been competitive with each other. We're classmates. And on the tennis team together in a lot of the same classes, you know, we both applied to the same college, when we're out of high school, and we're peers, right? So when he came to me and said, hey, I'm going to do this event, kind of like the same one I just did in San Francisco and DC, and your area of familiarization with DC is better than mine since I went to college there. Can you help me plan a route? What's going to be great? And so I was helping with that, and that's when I was like, oh, wait, you can't go on there at night. Like, they're not going to let you. And that's when we had the permit talk, and he just dismissed it. And I was like, well, good luck. Okay. But I was around for the different points of that, you know, definitely the start and the middle and the end. I had Java with me at the time. So, yes, I did have an idea that it was, going to be crawling through mud and getting in cold water and doing these kind of crazy things. But what surprised me was that the one that I shadowed before there were such things as GoRuck shadows in DC, there were, I think there were 4 people, 4, maybe 5 people that were doing that. So it felt very casual and intimate, right? When I showed up to New York, I was shocked because there were so many people. Jason had to break it up into 2 different classes. So there was an all, you know, and I didn't know that until I kind of got there. And, you know, I was in the first class, I believe, to go. Because there was 03 and 04. So I was in the first class to go, and I was kind of shocked by how many other people were there. And I was like, okay. And I was the only female, but that was fine. It was actually really funny. I was telling someone the other day, that was when Jason brought the bricks to everyone and would just say, hey, disperse these amongst yourselves, you know, during the admin portion. And I remember being like, well, you know, all these guys, they just grabbed all these bricks, you know, like 6 at a time. Someone probably had 8. And they left me 2. And I was like, all right, I'll have 2. I had a little Echo bag. So I put them in there. And so it was already kind of sandbagging from the start, like not even meaning to. And you know, we just being in New York City, walking through, you know, all these parks and places at night, and being in Times Square when there's nobody there, I had never experience New York like that. So it ended up being this really special and very memorable event. And, you know, he put us in the Hudson. It was freezing. He put us in the Hudson several times, but I was most angry when, you know, because I, so this is perfect. This goes right to your point. So I was like, I know what's going to happen. He's going to get us wet. I'm going to bring a dry bag, which I think I just had a Ziploc bag with extra clothes. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to be dry. So when he was going to put us in the water for the first time, I was like, okay, cool. I stripped down to my sports bra and pants and then got wet. And then I got out and I was like, oh, great. I'm going to dry off and put on my dry clothes now. Well, as soon as I put my dry clothes on, he made us go back into the Hudson. And I was like, no. I remember talking to him. Like, I broke out of role, right? I wasn't just like another participant at that point. I was like, no, I'm your ex-wife. I don't agree with this. You can't do this to us. And he just smiled and was like, get in the water. And I was stuck. Like, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw a fit, you know, in front of all these people that I don't know. So I was so pissed at him. I was like yelling at him from the water, like, we want to get out. Like, you know, I was just, he got to me, you know, here I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. This isn't going to be hard. And then he got under my skin. And I remember it was funny, you know, at the end, but because I was so pissed about that, I remember going up to him and telling him like, you know, it wasn't that hard. Just to piss him off. So, but it was hard, but not, it was different then. It wasn't as heavy, you know, the experience wasn't quite as, for lack of a better word, uniform, you know, like now it's like the more weight, everyone's going to get a chance if they're, you know, unless they're trying to hide from it, they're going to get a chance to really carry something heavy. It wasn't like that. It was more, you know, we just covered more distance. And being an endurance runner, I was fine with that, you know, but the water hazard got me.
Yeah, because that's tough to train for.
Yeah.
And it's not fun to train for. I don't mind running, but I mean,
cold showers, no way.
Yeah, that is not enjoyable. So your official role at GoRuck is people ops. Is that correct?
Well, it was.
It was.
So I actually, yes, I recently recruited my best friend from high school, that a good friend of both Jason and mine, who has a, you know, almost a 20-year career in HR. She came on board at the beginning of this year to head up our people ops. So she has taken over that role, which I had kind of, you know, by default, as we grew, realized that, well, someone needed to manage, you know, these types of things. So we actually have an expert now in charge of that. And it's so far it's been really great, because it's always great when you can bring in someone who does what you've been doing so much better, you know, in the sense that this is their expert area of expertise. So I've done that, and I would manage certain partnerships that I work with, or, you know, kind of, I always tell people, like, I just always did the kind of miscellaneous tasks, you know, and now it's been pretty cool, because the last, you know, just since January, we're having, Monica come on board as the head of people ops. I've been able to turn my focus to women at GoRuck and thinking about, you know, having someone finally that's you know, a woman in charge of that, and looking at that from all aspects, and you know, the rucking for women, the training for women, the events for women, the gear, the apparel, you know, and then just who are these women of GoRuck in our community?
That's wonderful. It's so fun when you're able to, like you said, bring people in who can do what you were doing, but, you know, take it away from you and do it better. Sometimes I wish I could do that, maybe for podcast editing or something else, video editing. When you're in the water at that DC event, you know, you brought your clothes, got into them, all your dry stuff, and they were thrown back in the water. Did you ever think sometime in the future, down the road, maybe 7 or so years, 8 years that you would be doing this at GoRec?
No. I don't think I even thought I would be doing this a year ago. You know, it's really exciting to think of, you know, because it always just felt like, you know, GoRec's this very masculine brand, you know, based on special forces training and special forces roots. And, you know, who am I to be a part of that, right? But, you know, what you find as you get, you know, even as a person, you know, if we were to relate it to growing up, right, is that you're not just defined by one thing or one aspect. There's a lot more to a person's story, just the way that there's more to a company story or an organization story. And in the GoRec brand, you know, the reality is that the brand is the people who make it up, right? And, you know, while Jason and Special Forces Roots will always have a place and always be a part of that origin story, I look back on it and think of, you know, my origin story is GoRec's origin story as well. And, you know, my background and what I did simultaneously alongside when Jason was in the Army contributed sometimes mostly behind the scenes, which is interesting, right? You know, I kind of feel like I'm a behind the scenes kind of worker in person. And, you know, I think Jason was a reluctant, front of the scene kind of person. If you actually ever talked to him or knew him beforehand, he's an introvert who's had to become an extrovert in a lot of ways. And I relate to that. But, you know, my time at GoRec has been kind of making sure everything kind of stays intact and it's running, right? And you know, supporting the team and making sure that those things happen. And it's interesting now to kind of be moving in a direction where it's kind of leading the way to open up to represent the women's voice in it, because it's always been there, you know, and just the way that, you know, I think about it a lot in the sense that what I was doing with the government in a way would be supporting, you know, the types of things that SF teams were doing on the front lines, you know, and like I always was doing like behind the scenes sort of work. It's cool because it tends to mirror what GoRec has been. And so now it's the question is sort of, you know, telling that story, talking about, you know, my connection to GoRec and my background and training, and using that to, you know, really connect with a lot more women in our community.
And there are a lot of women who work for GoRec.
Yes.
I was on the careers page, and I mean, just scrolling up and down, I mean, and the last time I was down there in the office, you know, you mentioned that GoRec kind of portrays, or at least used to portray, more of like this tough, you know, the masculine brand. But there's a lot of women who work for GoRec.
Yes. And it's the first employee that Jason ever hired was a female. Like you said, it was more of just an outward appearance. There's always been women at GoRec working and doing great things. I think right now we're at the height of, you know, let's say we're about at a 30 person staff, a third of us are women, you know, and that's probably the highest it's ever been. But again, that's relative to, you know, the highest we've ever been is in that 30 range for people. So it's great. And what's really awesome now to see from a team standpoint is that, you know, the vision is clear. You know, we went through those kind of existential questions over the past years, like, are we an events company? Are we a gear company? You know, are we a leadership company? You know, all these questions, all these different routes to take. And just in the last, I'd say 3, maybe 4 years, has it really started crystallized into, we're a rucking company. You know, we are bridging the gap of, you know, military to civilian in terms of a great alternative to running and fitness activity that is community centric and it has health benefits, and it's social, you know, by the way we defined it and the way it's being defined in the community. So, you know, it's been really cool to see how that focus internally has, you know, created, you know, departments and, you know, people. It's not just like the cadre and the support, you know, this kind of binary, you know, simplified system. It's a real team, and it's a team of all types, you know, all ages, all backgrounds, military, civilian, you know, men, women, younger and older, you know, people who are just, you know, the common theme is that they subscribe to our culture. They believe in what we're doing. And, you know, we have, you know, kind of a more lax kind of feel than most. You know, if you walk into our office, you know, it's kind of has that tech or startup feel, but there's a lot of traditional stuff too, right? There's a lot of, you know, things that you would remember, you know, harkens to the military, and it's an interesting place, and it's developed, you know, and I like to think that at our best, we've been able to evolve while still keeping the brand and the culture intact.
I love it, especially realizing and talking about GORUCK as a wrecking company, because I think just writing it down and knowing what you stand for helps with a lot of decision making. And it's funny. I don't know if it's funny or not. It's interesting, right? When GORUCK comes out with apparel or comes out with boots, every now and then you see comments, oh, why is GORUCK coming out with boots? They're a backpack company. Or why is GORUCK coming out with apparel? They're a backpack company. Well, 10 years ago, GORUCK wasn't a backpack company. I mean, those, you know, you could do the same thing back in 2010. Why is GORUCK coming out with a backpack? They're not a backpack company. And now, you know, here you are producing some of the absolute best backpacks that money can buy, that can go through and survive all these events, and not only survive, but somehow look better after the events.
Yeah, they're broken in.
Absolutely. And so that, I mean, that whole idea that GORUCK's a wrecking company, I think really solves and answers a lot of those questions. Like, GORUCK's not just a backpack company. They're not just an events company. They're a wrecking company, and all of that stuff, the backpacks, you know, the rucks, the events, the shoes, the USA made GORUCK gear, all of that falls into it so well. And that's a really cool thing to think about.
We just had to come to terms with the fact that we needed to build our own category on this, right? Instead of trying to, you know, say, okay, well, we're a gear company that does events. You know, it's so much easier when people ask me, you know, before it just took too many sentences to get to the point, too much explanation. And now, if someone asks me, well, what is GORUCK? And I say, well, we're the rucking company, or we're a rucking company, you know? And they go, well, what's rucking? That's the next question I want them to ask, right? Because then I say, oh, it's walking with weight in a backpack. And it has its roots in the military, but we're making it accessible for, you know, people outside of the military. And so it's really just kind of change that conversation and change the focus without losing all these cool things that have built GORUCK in the past. So, you know, we think about the boots. Well, you probably know that, you know, having been an OG GRT, is that the boots came about from a joke that, you know, ended up becoming a Wednesday sort of joke about what do you wear to an event? What boots, what shoes, what where should I wear to an event? And it became this holy grail of finding the actual one. I mean, it was a joke, but at the time, but then it became something that Jason, you know, decided, well, there isn't the best one out there. Let's make it. So it's been really cool to see those conversations evolve and not cloud the original premise. Right. And, you know, I really, you know, Jason was always so conflicted, you know, in the sense that he was like, well, God, we're a people company, you know? I mean, this wouldn't exist if people didn't show up to these events. So his heart was in events, but he realized that the gear was, you know, a lot of what put us on the map. And this just allows both to live in harmony with each other. They're not competing anymore. And, you know, there was a time where if you worked at GoRec, it felt like it was antagonistic's a little too strong, but it just felt like it was just like, oh, well, you do the gear and I do the events. It's a little bit separate, right? It doesn't feel that same way anymore because now we have this overarching idea of like the social fitness activity that all of this relates back to.
Yeah, it just kind of brings it all together under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that you went with that. It's kind of scary, I think, moving in that kind of a direction, right? Because it's tough because you're moving away from something that's like in quotes, like Googleable. Like you can Google like, yes. what should a gear company do when they're this old? What should an events company do? I'm having this issue. What should I do? Let's ask Google. But right. now that you're considering yourself a rucking company, it's like, what does a rucking company do? It's like, no one knows. so you have to,
it's new territory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And it's, yeah, you know, it's just kind of, taking that step off because it's definitely a new territory, but I'm really excited about it. I've watched, you know, the videos that came out, GoRec, the wrecking company, just incredibly well done. And I guess one last thing I wanted to mention before we continue down the path of women in wrecking is that with GoRec and gear, I remember hanging out with Jason in Seattle in maybe 2012, I want to say. And he had a GoRec wallet on him. And I asked him about the wallet. And he's like, man, I hate this wallet. He's like, I don't know.
He still has it, by the way.
I bet he does. He was not happy with it. And I asked him just because I was, you know, I like GoRec gear. I was like, well, when can we get our hands on it? And he's like, probably never, you know, because I'm not happy with it. And I just thought I've never really had a time to tell that story. But since we're talking about, you know, GoRec and gear and everything kind of relating together, and maybe it kind of fits in here that, I mean, he probably could have had that wallet made and he probably could have sold out of them because people were asking him for a wallet, but, you know, it didn't meet his standards and it didn't meet what he thought the GoRec brand represented. And so they were never, as far as I know, they were never made. I know they were never sold on the website. And so it's cool to see and refreshing to see like that level of integrity to gear that there's things that, you know, I'm sure he spent a lot of money in R&D in and they're not going to see the light of day because they didn't pass his tests.
Yeah. And, you know, there were other, you know, ventures and other sort of endeavors and it, you know, something that, you know, Jason is a very like focused individual and there was a time at GoRec, you know, around the time Java passed away, where he was a little disenchanted, you know, he was like, I don't know about this. You know, it just felt, you know, he confided and I don't think he would mind me too much sharing this now, but you know, I could tell. And I remember looking at him and I said, give it 5 years and see where you're at. So this was about 5 years, you know, this was about 5 years ago. And I said, just hang on, just give it 5 years. And that's always been my mantra. I joined the government. I wasn't sure it was for me. I gave it 5 years, right? Jason spent 5 years in the military as well. So it's funny to think like where we are now, you know, 5 years later, 10 total years at GoRec. And I love the fact that he is engaged. I haven't seen him this engaged since the very beginning. And to be, you know, it's like, you know, it was building. It's not just a switch, but he loves this new focus. He believes in it wholeheartedly. He's been like just like a mad scientist. I mean, if you saw his office at our home, I walked in there the other day and he had, we don't have any curtains because the kids, they would probably wreck them, but it's just like plain, you know, windows everywhere. And he has got, has dry erase marker all over the windows with diagrams and notes and all this stuff. And this is filled and it looks a little freaky when you walk in, but he's just meeting with doctors, like talking about the science and the health benefits. And, you know, he's just like, he believes in it. He says, it's working. You know, I see people rucking, and I see these ruck clubs growing, and I see people, you know, telling me about how this has helped them through a physical, mental, emotional, you know, trying time, and how it's been helpful. And, you know, it feels like you said, it's scary because it's never really been done. You know, it's something that has legs, you know, in the sense that, you know, all you need is a backpack and some weight to put in it, you know, and yet it's energizing to think, well, we're doing this and we're all in, and this is our mission now. And, you know, we had kind of, you know, a strategic, you know, workshop with everybody beginning the year, and it really was exciting because, you know, our team is gathering around, and now everything is just focused on this. And it has been, this isn't just this year. I mean, this has been building to this. And just to add on there, the funny part of this is that the way we kind of fell into this, it was kind of moving that direction, but what sparked it to move a little faster was that Reebok back in 2014 reached out to me just randomly, like you want through the internet, and was interested in acquiring us or partnering with us or something, some iteration of that. So we started having talks with them, and we were just like, wait a minute, what, you know? So through those talks, it became clear that, I know, on our end, like, wow, there's something here with this rucking business and getting people out. And it's more awesome than walking. It's more accessible than running. And we politely declined Reebok's advances and just said, we're going to do this on our own, you know, and with our community, with our people who have been doing this for years, you know, and who know what rucking is. And you know, a lot of that is tapping into that military expertise. You know, there's a lot of ruckers out there. They may have been turned off by how heavy it was or how miserable it was in the military, but they know what it's about. So they're part of that education.
That is really interesting to hear that Reebok approached you guys. Every now and then there's people on the sides like, oh, is, you know, what's GoRuck doing? Are they setting themselves up for a buyout or, you know, stuff like that? But I guess that answers the question of that right there.
Oh gosh, that's not Jason at all. You know, he's or our team for that matter. Like, you know, that was something that we were like, well, tell us more. You know, we'll have this conversation. But as it progressed, it became clear that no, that's not really what we want. And you know, this is something that Jason has invested a lot in. He feels a lot of ownership over, and he wants to make sure it's done the way, you know, he wants to make sure that it doesn't become a wallet company, you know, you know?
Yeah. It's always interesting to hear what other people think of you, right? Because what better way mm-hmm. to get an unbiased opinion on what a company, how they think you're doing than to have talks like that. Every now and then people will reach out about advertising on the All Day Ruckoff podcast. And even mm-hmm. if it's from a company that I have no interest at all, I still want to hear what their offer is because I'm curious what they think advertising space on this is worth. And so I'll ask them,
yeah.
But you know, I'm not going to be on here selling mattresses or talking about food delivery services for 2 minutes.
Right.
So I'm right. not going to go down that route, but I'm curious, you know, what the food delivery service thinks an ad spot on this is worth. And so
yeah,
there's a difference, and it's kind of interesting to hear that info. So I'm sure that, you know, Jason and the team thought that was at least interesting to hear what yeah. Reebok thought.
It was interesting. And, you know, at that time, you know, Reebok had a partnership with CrossFit and had a newly entered partnership at the time with Spartan Race. And so it kind of, in a lot of ways, made some sense right, on paper. But, you know, as we went along, we were like, you know, this isn't really what we want, right? We, you know, it's, you know, sometimes things feel like the quick and easy. And this started to feel like that. And then we met a lot of great people there. Obviously, we met Paul, who is now our head of products and developer of the Maxi One boots with Jason and Richard Rice. And, you know, there's actually another woman who we met through there who has a ton of experience in the apparel and world and footwear world, who's she's going to be joining our board and advising me and GoRuck on those kind of related things. So, you know, these type of things, they open doors, and it was not a waste of time at all. Even though if you had asked Jason at the time, he was like, there's, you know, a year plus of my life, you know, and back and forth. But sometimes it's going through those exercises, right? And like you said, hearing what someone else's opinion is can really burn thought. I mean, it gets you out of your bubble opens up some opportunity, which, like I said, I think we could have gotten there eventually. It's possible we wouldn't have, or wouldn't have quite as smoothly or as quickly, you know, because things, they take time, right? I mean,
you sure do.
You've been doing this for 5 years now, and we've been at this for 10 years, and it's you don't get famous overnight, you know. People talk about this a lot, you know, especially on social media. They like all these iceberg memes, but it's true, you know. It wouldn't be a meme if it weren't true to some extent.
Yeah, it's so true. I remember the first day that All Day Ruckoff had over 100 visitors on the website in a day, which is like peanuts in terms of visits, but it was like 2 years after I started the website, and it was mostly because GoRuck retweeted something on Twitter, and that brought a lot of traffic in. And so, I mean, it's just been interesting to watch that progression, and it's a slow progression, mm-hmm. especially when you're starting out, and it's just something that you have to grind through and do because you love, because yeah. it's at the end of the day, I mean, you have to be happy. So speaking of doing things that you love, you're out of people ops now, and so you get to have a focus on women and rucking. And it sounds mm-hmm. like that's a fairly new transition, that you get to spend a lot more of your time on this. So what are some of your plans?
Yes, it is new, and a lot is still kind of in development. I mean, there's a lot of ideas, but there's a lot of things to be done that are kind of the low hanging fruit, so to speak, in terms of like, yeah, there's just more attention that's needed on the women's apparel line. Talking to some groups of women and asking them, well, what needs to be changed? And, you know, what would we like to see at events? So it's just kind of having those conversations and being more plugged in and looking at the females in our community, spotlighting them, having those conversations. So that's a lot of it. You know, I've been working with Paul and our apparel manufacturer to make some small changes, or to try to add some of the products that are on the men's line, but, you know, make them right for women. So everyone tells me, like, that's a very imperfect and long and, you know, difficult process of, you know, finding the right apparel. So I've been working on, you know, getting some pieces in the works, building out that line. But from the rucking standpoint, you know, we've been talking about, you know, what it looks like to have, you know, kind of bringing more attention back to the women's, all women's events. And, you know, something that Jason put forth to me that I really haven't figured out yet, and I need to just do some more thinking, but also talking to folks about is, you know, what is an event that would really showcase women and the strength of women in our community? And part of that is that, you know, if you look at the numbers for selection, we've had one female pass. And I mean, and then there haven't been that many men who've passed. So that's not entirely earth shattering. But what we want to keep the standard with that, and it's obviously I applaud any and all women who train and show up for that challenge and get as far as possible with that. And I don't think that should preclude anyone from going. But what are some other events that would really, you know, play to their strengths and not, you know, when you're talking about 45 pounds dry, you know, that, I mean, I can tell you that my body frame's not going to support that over 48 hours, you know, it's just not. But, you know, what else could do it? So team assessment has been kind of an exciting idea. And we're curious to beta that this year and see what's going to happen from that standpoint for women. And just looking at other opportunities to talk about rucking and our events in ruck clubs and how this is affecting women out there and the positive benefits of it and the community building aspects and, you know, the fact that I like to think it's very inclusive. It's not about, okay, well, everything's separate. You know, the men do this and women do that. No, I mean, we know that's not how it works, you know, in real life. And I mean, I started a ruck club here in Jacksonville in my neighborhood, not to compete with the Go Ruck Ruck Club, but just because I value, along with my other friends that are mothers, the ability to just walk out my front door and meet at a, you know, a street corner once a week, or, you know, as we can gather with a group of moms. And sometimes some people bring their kids, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the husbands tag along, sometimes they don't. So it's like, there's no real, like, okay, this is just women only sort of thing. But it does create a space for women to organize and to kind of set the terms, you know, to make sure it is going to be convenient, you know, it is going to be allow for someone who, you know, hey, I've got my kids this time. I know I'm just going to have enough going on pushing them in the stroller. But the woman who's, you know, training for an event, she's going to bring a little more weight. She's going to tack on a few more miles at the end of it, you know. So there's this really great sort of aspect to it. And I always tell this story. I always laugh because I'm a college runner and I love running. I don't like running by myself at all. I don't, college team running ruined me for that. Whenever I ask another friend in the neighborhood to run with me, they immediately say no. They don't even give me a chance. They're like, no, you ran in college. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't mean I'm not going to be able to run with you. You know, like, doesn't mean I'm running those same times that I did. But we don't even get a chance to, for the most part. I'd have to really work at it. But I can say, hey, will you meet me for a ruck? And the conversation is just, I get more yeses. And I really love that. And so we've been doing that. We've got a ruck scheduled tomorrow at 9:00. We're going to ruck with our kids and we're going to end up at one of the friends' houses because it's her 1-year-old's birthday. So we're going to have a brunch there. And it just starts to feel organic.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I get the same feedback as well. If I ask people if they want to go for a run, it's usually no. You know, it's tough. I wasn't a runner in high school or anything or in college, but I started getting a little bit competitive with running. So I've got my times down recently, but at the same time, I mean, rucking, it's so much more accessible. It's a lot more of the same pace. And for some reason, I get a lot more yeses when I ask people if they want to go out and ruck. So
it's that's great.
It's good to hear that that's, I guess, you know, completely opposite sides of the country. We're both experiencing the same thing.
Right. And when you're pushing a stroller or, you know, your kid wants to stop and see the bunnies that are, you know, outside or whatever, and or there's snow on the ground or whatever, it makes it a little easier to say, okay, no big deal. I'm, you know, if you made me stop 15 times during my run, I would feel pretty disappointed by the end of it, you know.
Yes.
Felt like I didn't get going. But a ruck, I don't feel that same way. And so, you know, I had to make a hard decision a couple years ago when my third child was born. I was an assistant coach at the high school where Jason and I graduated from in town. a really great running program, a great head coach. He's Irish, very colorful, but just excellent at what he does. And I loved it. You know, it's just part of me, part of my past. And I love the coaching the girls and seeing them, you know, become lifelong runners and whatnot because of their love, because of this great experience and bonding experience they had with the team. But I had to make a decision because it was across town and I just felt like I was running ragged. And I just said, you know, I can wait on that. That if one of my kids is a runner, maybe I'll get a chance to coach again and be attached to that right now. But right now I really want to double down on, you know, not only my family, because kids are little, they need me now, and go Ruck. And that was like a pivotal point for me where I was like, no, I still run. I still do a race here and there with my college, you know, teammates. I'll train for something this year, kind of like we're all turning 40. So it's going to be fun. But the rucking has become just part of my daily life. And it's really cool when I get text messages from, you know, friends and they're like, I see people out rucking all the time. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, it's starting, it's going to take probably another 10 years, Brian, you know, but it's happening. And I think it's really cool. Like all these kind of interesting people like yourself and in our community who, I mean, we're all setting this trend. We're the weirdo runners back in the 70s that would just do, you know, get together. I mean, I think about the Hashtown Harriers, which I love. I don't know if you know about that, but living abroad for about almost 10 years, I really connected with the expat community living far from home through this running group, you know, the drinking group or the running problem, as they like to say. And, you know, I see this happening with rucking, and it's not going to happen super fast. You know, it's going to happen organically. And, you know, but we are the ones that have been doing these Go Ruck events from the beginning. Like, you know, it's really part of this, like you're the early adopters, right? You're the ones that said, sure, why not? I'll try this, you know? And it's, I mean, fast forward 10 years, I can see a time where, you know, this is just really starting to pick up more steam and it's becoming ubiquitous. And next thing you know, there's ruck clubs and other all over the place. And if you travel, you know, to a different city or a different country, you'll be able to connect and have this in common with people. And it's just really cool to think about and to dream out loud and to see it actually happening.
It's so nice, especially now that Goruk has the Ruck Club map on their website and all of that integrated in. If you're traveling, you can easily find, especially if you're going to a major city, another group to ruck with. And you're seeing that happen all over. And it's just such a cool thing to see, you know, grow organically, because back in, you know, 2011, if you're traveling somewhere, you just have to post out on the Tough page and say, I'm going to be in the city as anyone else nearby. But now there's resources and ways to get connected. It makes it really, really convenient. And just to talk back a couple points, when I'm home with the kids and I'm trying to figure out, it's tough. I'm one of those people who likes to exercise every day. And if I don't exercise during the day, then at night, I'm like, oh man, should I go out for a night ruck or a run or something? Like I need to do something every day. So if I'm home with both kids, it's easy to throw them in the double stroller and go out for a ruck and get that in. Where if I was just a runner, it's like nearly impossible to run with a double stroller.
I actually don't find it enjoyable at all as a runner run with a single or a double.
It's just more work at that point. It's not fun. I like running with people, but it's not fun for the kids because they see stuff, like you said, and they want to stop. They see a dog, they want to say hi. And it's like, no, we're running. But when you're out rucking, it's a completely different thing.
It is. I can totally relate. And it's really great to hear you, as a dad, weighing in on this, because more power to the moms and dads who stick to their regimen, pushing those strollers and passing people in races with strollers. I mean, that's that's pretty intense, and I can respect it, but I have never had an interest in that. I don't feel like my arms move the same way. My gait changes, you know, I don't get the same, you know, kind of high from running, doing that. And I find it to be very disruptive and difficult. And frankly, like, you know, sometimes I feel like it's almost dangerous because I'm trying to push them and then the kids are trying to wiggle out and, you know, somehow, you know, I've had like the stroller kind of almost tip over because I didn't have it in the right mode, you know? So, yeah.
The way I think about it, and I have no idea if this is correct or not, and so I'm going to apologize for anyone listening in advance who goes for runs all the time with their kids in strollers, and you both enjoy it. But when I look at it and do it, I feel like when it's running with the stroller, it's I want to go for a run, and I have this kid who I also have to take care of, and so I guess they kind of have to come with me. I can't leave them at home. And right. So it's me running, and the kid has to come along. And they just kind of live through it. But when it's rucking, it's me rucking with my kid. You know, I'm pushing the stroller. We're pointing at things. We're talking. You know, Ada's not two yet, but she's learning words and she knows things and she points at stuff and we'll have little conversations and we'll stop at the park and I might do some pull-ups and she'll go down the slide and then we'll go on our way. We'll, you know, go out of our way and see a dog and all that stuff. It feels like I'm doing something with my kids and not I'm doing something and my kids just so happen to be there.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I never ever verbalized it, but I think that I've had that feeling before. It feels like you're just strapping them in and saying, you know, you're held hostage while I get my run in. And you know, obviously walking is fine too. I mean, walking is a great activity, but if you want a little more, you know, this is what I love about rucking is that it does add that extra element to it. So I find that I'm, like I said, I'm less annoyed by an interruption, you know, if we're on a ruck and I'm pushing the stroller or the kids want to get out and walk next to me, they can keep up, you know, because I'm not trying to go breakneck speed. I'm just going their pace and still getting something done. Still getting, you know, something in. And if I, you know, put a 20-pound plate in, I can feel it afterwards. And, you know, it's I've done some work and that feels a little more satisfying.
Absolutely.
And
that's such a wonderful point because when you're going for a run, you know, you don't have your ruck on your back. If you're walking, then you're taking a break. I mean, that's like your two modes, right? You have running where you're running and you've got the walking and you're taking a break. And when you're rucking, even if you're looking at the flowers or the kids walking slow, that weight is still on your back. Like it doesn't make it any easier. You still have the weight. You're still carrying that. And it doesn't really matter that you're moving that much slower because you're still getting the workout in. And it satisfies, at least for myself, that crave that I need to get a workout in. And when I'm done, that's gone and all's good in the world.
I mean, lately, like with this rucking challenge, which I've found to be very fun because I've mixed it up quite a bit. Like I'm actually going to meet GRT's in town and she was like, hey, do you want to get your mile in with us? And I was like, yeah. So I'm going to meet up with her, you know, we're going to meet up and do that. But I've also done it while on a work call, you know, so I'll just be out walking, you know, rucking on my walking with my pack on and, you know, talking. And then, of course, I've done it a few times in the afternoons after school and the kids, they throw some books in their backpack and they want to do it with me and they can do the mile, you know, they can for the most part. And they'll actually ruck with me on our little mile route. And then there's been the times where I've left it until after the kids go to bed and Monster and I have had some quality time getting our mile in. But you know, you can see like there's so many different ways to get it done, you know, and I like that aspect of it. You know, you could do it, you know, while traveling and with kids, with a dog, with work, you know, with others, on your own. So it's been really interesting to do that mile a day And I'm committed to it because I don't really want to do the PT.
Same here.
Yeah.
I've been getting some of mine in at a, 10, 10:30, 11 at night just because I don't want to do the PT the next day. It's easier. Because then you have to do the PT and the mile for that day. So it's really worth it to just get the mile in.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
I'm really excited just talking to you about the future of GoRuck, the GoRuck as the rucking company, your new focus within the company. I think it's going to be really exciting. And I think some really awesome things are going to come out of it. What are you most excited for the coming future for 2019 for GoRuck?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I've got a lot of ideas and a lot of things in development, but I'm just really excited to hear what women have to say. I think we've got women that have, we've got small groups of women and they speak up, but I want to hear from more. I want to hear their stories. I want to hear how rucking or GoRuck or this community has helped them in their lives and how it's, gotten them through something or just how it's been a fitness journey, things like that. Like that, I'm really excited to hear that because I feel like it's just, GoRuck to me is a microcosm of a lot of things, we're a mixed group of people, and we all have this kind of common, interest in the sense that we love this community based. It's not this I generation. We really like this idea of it's not about you and the service element, the things that are rooted in our military community. I'm really just excited because I've been, just by kind of getting into this role, I've met some people, in the military, outside of the military, military spouses, and there's just a lot of great stuff going on. A lot of things that people are doing, and I think it's really empowering, right? And that's what I want to really tap into and to talk about more, and share those experiences as well as some of my own. That's what really gets me excited, not quite on that same level, but there's this other element that we've been talking about on the women's side of thing in terms of travel, like how to travel as a woman, either if you're on your own or, with someone else or in a group, what does it look like to be a good traveler? And I want to really talk about it's kind of this more accessible, it's not this super high-end luxurious travel. And yet it's not this super, it's also not this, I'm going to go as a college student with a backpack everywhere, and just live in hostels. It's somewhere in between. Like where does it make sense to, have the more authentic experience and do so in a way that's, fun and safe and adventurous without breaking the bank? Or, how do you do it as a parent, and I think there's a lot that goes into that, that can tie either directly or indirectly with rucking. Like I'm getting ready to go to Asia for the first time next month. I'm going to meet with the Tokyo Ruck Club over there. And there's a larger event through our Ingress partnership that we're having a bunch of GoRuck events happening there, and the largest sort of anomalies that they've had there have been in Tokyo. So I'm really excited to see that on kind of a really big stage. And I'm taking my mom with me because the last time she was in Asia, she was in there as a toddler when it was still occupied Japan, when my grandfather was stationed there in the Air Force. So I feel like this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to have her join me, and yet I know I'm going to be pulling her roll back, for her. So part of me is like, I've got to travel really light and really practical, but still be able to be flexible to, if there is some occasion where I need to dress up, or if there is something where I need to do a GoRuck event, which I'm going to do, or if I'm going to meet with the Ruck Club, and, I'm going to have to be versatile, but I'm going to have to do so in a way that it allows me to free up my moment and movement so I can help someone else, right? And that's what moms and dads and a lot of us do, right? You know, if you're in a position where you can help someone else, you should be prepared, right? So I want to talk more about that, and explore that, you know, and to see what sort of interest there is with that from a rucking and go ruck perspective.
It's always fun to search around on the internet and look at, you know, people's packing tips and travel tips, and mm-hmm. everything is so focused right now on the one bag, right? On one bagging it and going completely minimal. But I mean, you're a parent, I'm a parent, I've got, you know, two kids. That's like nearly impossible for me to meet some of these things. It's like, well, where do you put the kids' spare clothes? And what about the diapers? And it's
right.
It'll be exciting to hear about the more realistic travel. I can dream about this whole one bag thing where I'm going to be, you know, writing posts for All Day Rock Off on the beach and then recording podcasts at night or however it works. Right. But the realistic thing is that, okay, are the kids sleeping? All right, time to call up and record this, or time to, you know, fit it in like that. Right. So that's
exciting. The adventure changes. The variables are different, mm-hmm. you know, but you just have to adapt.
Absolutely. And I think if GoRuck is really great at doing things like that, it's adapting.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. I like to think that too. And I think, you know, when I look back, something that makes me really happy is that we have evolved and continued to evolve. And I like to think a lot of that is from clarity of vision and also from input, right? You know, from listening to people. You know, you can't really adapt in a way that's going to continue to let you survive from a Darwinian perspective unless you are really in tune with what's going on around you, you know? So I like to think that part of what, like, our customer service team and our cadre and our people, you know, building and running our events, as well as the people who are building our gear, is that we're listening to what the people who are actually out there rucking, doing the event, you know, wearing the apparel, you know, what they're saying. And that's not to say that, like, you know, everything changes because one person, you know, didn't like one thing, right? It's more of a consistency, you know, of like, well, this isn't the first time I've heard this, and this actually makes sense. And we, you know, we bring it back and we talk about it and we say, you know, we tried this and it's actually not, we're not having the result we needed to. So let's go back to the drawing board and see, you know, if it's how we can improve upon that.
That's phenomenal. And that's such a great approach to take with all that stuff. And it's awesome to hear you say that. First off, I really appreciate you taking all this time to talk with me about this. Is there anything else that you want to talk about related to women in rucking, your new role at GoRuck, but with the focus on that, or GoRuck in general?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, it's a lot is still kind of in the development ideation phase. And I am interested in hearing, you know, if people have thoughts on it. So I am kind of in a collection mode, but also, you know, working off of some things that are tried and true, right? And really looking at things that make sense to continue on, but also new, you know, what makes sense to kind of try a new direction or talk about it. So I'm really open to this. And I'd love to get back on again and talk with you, Brian, once, you know, some more sort of paths have been, you know, checked out and we're saying, okay, we're going to try this. We're going to do this. This is where we're going. So I'd love to talk to you about that. You know, something that I've been working on is again, sort of my origin story with GoRuck and my background and things like that, because I think it ties in really nicely and it's applicable. And it's interesting, like I said, from the, you know, the female perspective, you know, given the type of work I did in Africa and even in South America, you know, serving my country, But doing it in kind of a different way than like an SF guy on the team does. But there's a lot of similarities and there's a lot of overlap. So I'm really interested in kind of starting the conversation with that and kind of seeing where it leads. And, you know, part of this is, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting conversation going on right now about women and the power empowerment and all these sorts of, you know, topics that are related to it. And what I could say is to try to keep an open mind is that I find that there's just a lot of things that it does make sense if it is a quote unquote man's world to just play that game. You know, it does make sense to work within that structure sometimes. But on the flip side, there are many opportunities where it actually makes sense to just do what works from a female perspective, right? And it's kind of trying to discern between those. So I've been doing a lot of thought on that and actually conversation with folks. And I think it's like most things, it's somewhere in the middle, you know, and like sometimes this is the way it is. And sometimes this is what we're going to do. We're going to just set new rules and we're going to have our own conversations and then relate them back. And I think it's a really just exciting time because there's been a lot of great work done in the past, right? On human rights and women's rights, but it's ongoing. It's continuing to happen. And I'd like to think that, you know, the progress is still moving forward. And that's kind of what I want to touch upon. You know, it's not just as simple as like, hey, what's it like to be a woman in a man's world? What's it like to be, you know, a woman, a brand within a very masculine brand? You know, it's not often that black or white. There's something to it to say, yes, there are these aspects and we recognize them, but there are a lot of there's a lot more going on, you know, than just the simple dynamic. At the end of the day, we're all people. And our wishes, wants, and desires are probably not that different. So, yes, there are some things, there are truisms, there are different cultures, there are different norms. But as long as we understand and respect them, we'll be able to reach our fullest potential. And I really want to capture that and what we're doing here to say, gosh, to be a woman and in a GORUCK event, you know, playing the part you do, and it's really about what are you going to bring to the table? What giving the best that you have to offer and having other people recognize that and respect it is really it's just really what I think GORUCK is about and has been since the beginning.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. I had a ton of fun talking to Emily about her new role at GORUCK, as well as just learning more about her and her first event. If you want to check out the show notes, which has links to everything we talked about, you can head on over to alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-091. If you want to support the podcast, as always, you can leave a review on either iTunes or on our Facebook page. Those are truly appreciated. I'm excited to have Emily back on again in the future to talk about where her new role at GORUCK takes her and what comes from that. Thank you so much for all the support. And don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, ruck harder.